So imagine hiring a highly paid, professional luxury chauffeur to drive you across the country.
Okay, sounds great so far.
Right. But there is a massive catch. So instead of relaxing in the back seat, maybe reading a book or taking a nap, you are forced to sit directly behind them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and you have to stare intensely right over their shoulder, literally hovering your hands inches from the steering wheel for 12 hours straight, just in case they suddenly pass out.
I mean, that sounds infinitely more stressful than just driving the car yourself.
Right. It sounds completely exhausting. But, well, welcome to the deep dive, because what I just described isn't some weird thought experiment.
No, it's really not.
It's the actual current safety model for some of the most advanced autonomous vehicles on the road right now.
So today, we are taking a look at your sources. We've got an advanced academic framework on ethical values, plus this fascinating lecture on AI safety strategies. And we're trying to figure out how we physically code human morality into
Which
machines.
is a huge undertaking. Exactly. We are getting past the buzzwords of our tech-driven world to figure out what happens when messy, fluid human ethics collide with cold, hard mathematics.
And to really grasp why that collision is so incredibly difficult to manage, we need to, stop treating ethics as a single abstract blob.
Right.
The sources give us a much sharper lens to view this through. They basically break this collision down into three distinct
Okay,
layers.
let's get into those layers.
Yeah, so if you want to understand trustworthy AI, or honestly, why AI so often fails to be trustworthy, you have to look at how a value travels through these three stages. The first is the lived experience.
The lived experience. So what does that look like?
This is how you, as a human being, intuitively feel and practice a value in the real world.
Like, knowing you shouldn't blow through busy crosswalk.
Yeah.
You don't sit there and calculate the physics of the vehicle impacting a pedestrian.
Right,
You
exactly.
just intuitively feel the weight of that responsibility. You understand the fragility of human life.
Yeah, that visceral understanding is the core of the first layer. Then comes the second layer, which is the technical definition.
Okay.
We have to take that intuitive, visceral feeling and somehow turn it into math. Like, how do we formalize responsibility? How do we quantify it and actually write it into an algorithm?
It sounds like trying to catch smoke with your bare hands, honestly. I mean,
It
how do you put a number on empathy?
is an immense engineering challenge, and it leads directly to the third layer, which is real-world functionality.
Where the rubber meets the road.
Literally, yeah. It's how that encoded mathematical version of a value actually operates when it is deployed in our unpredictable physical world. Does the translation hold up, or does it, catastrophically break down?
Well, let's bring this right back to that exhausting road trip I mentioned at the top. Let's talk about self-driving cars and this concept of a fallback system.
Yeah, great example.
Because in the pursuit of making these systems robust and resilient, the lecture material really hammers home this idea of redundancy.
Oh, redundancy is the absolute bedrock of engineering safety. The
Yeah.
concept is elegantly simple. If a primary system fails, a backup catches it.
Right.
So in trustworthy AI, when an algorithm encounters an edge case, it doesn't recognize, say, a strangely shaped construction vehicle straddling two lanes. It needs a fallback.
It needs help.
Exactly. And right now, in systems like Tesla's autopilot, the technical definition of safety relies heavily on a human-in-the-loop model.
Meaning the human is the backup battery.
Yeah, the algorithm does the heavy lifting, but the human is required to remain fully alert and take control the millisecond the system gets confused or disengages. The safety architecture assumes the human is an active, reliable component of the driving process.
See, I am completely stuck on this premise.
How so?
Because the whole point, like the ultimate desired outcome of buying a driverless car for you, the consumer, is so you can relax. I want to zone out after a long day at work. I want to look at my phone.
Sure.
So the lived experience of wanting that technology is fundamentally at odds with how the engineers have defined its safety.
Yeah, you've hit on a central tension in AI development here. It's known as value alignment.
Value alignment.
Right. The human's goal of relaxation directly contradicts the machine's technical requirement for constant human vigilance. The engineers have formalized safety by assuming the human is a perfectly reliable, instantaneously reacting fail-safe.
So basically, we've built a system that requires humans to act like machines.
Pretty much.
We're asking people to be hypervigilant, instantaneous processors of data, which is the one thing biology actively prevents us from doing.
It really does. Let's look at the cognitive psychology behind why this is such a disastrous mismatch. There is this well-documented phenomenon called automation complacency.
Automation complacency,
Dang.
meaning we just get lazy.
Essentially, yeah. When a human monitors a highly reliable automated system, our brains naturally power down. If the car drives flawlessly for 45 minutes, your biological hardware is not going to maintain a state of high alert.
I'm going to trust the machine. And, you know, I'm going to look at my phone.
You are naturally going to disengage. And coupled with that is something called the vigilance decrement.
The vigilance decrement.
Right. Humans are notoriously terrible at passively monitoring for rare events. If something only goes wrong once every 10,000 miles, our reaction time to that singular sudden event is abysmal.
Because we aren't expecting it.
Exactly. We simply cannot jump from zero engagement to 100% critical decision making in a fraction of a second.
Because we've been lulled into a false sense of security.
Yeah.
So the technical definition of the value completely ignores the reality of the lived human experience.
Yes.
And so the real-world functionality completely breaks down.
The safety strategy fails because it refuses to acknowledge human nature.
Right. But that's a localized tragedy. A human failing to pay attention in a Tesla and bumping a guardrail, I mean, that's a problem of convenience colliding with biology.
True.
But let's take the human-in-the-loop model to a place where keeping a human involved isn't just exhausting, but physically impossible.
Ah, okay. We are moving from civilian transport to the military domain.
Yes, we are. And the stakes shift from a fender bender to global survival.
Very true.
Because the sources detail this intense debate happening right now regarding national defense systems. And the core of the debate is speed.
Right.
We've just established that humans make terrible backup systems because our biology makes us complacent. But in modern warfare, the issue isn't complacency. It's that we literally cannot think fast enough.
Yeah, think about the legacy architecture of nuclear deterrence. The ultimate fallback system has always been human judgment.
Always.
For decades, the primary threat was the Intercontinental Ballistic Missile, or ICBM.
Which a tech-savvy audience knows is incredibly destructive. But the key factor here is the flight time. We are talking about 30 minutes or more from launch to impact.
And that block of time is everything. Time is an ethical buffer.
An ethical buffer. I like that phrasing.
Yeah, it provides a physical space for human empathy and moral reasoning. It allows military commanders to look at radar screens, verify the data, have a frantic but reasoned discussion, and ultimately make a decision about how to respond.
There's time to ask. Wait, is this a glitch? Are we sure we want to do this?
Exactly. To illustrate how crucial that buffer is, we just have to look at a terrifying historical near miss.
Oh, the 1983 incident.
Yes. In 1983, a Soviet officer named Stanislav Petrov was on duty when the early warning system reported that five American nuclear missiles had been launched.
Five missiles.
The system was screaming at him to retaliate. The technical system was 100% confident in its assessment.
But he didn't launch the counterattack.
Yo, he looked at the data and thought, well, if America were going to start a global nuclear war, they wouldn't launch just five missiles.
Right. It didn't make logical sense.
He exhibited doubt. He allowed his lived human experience and his intuition to override the machine. And it turned out to be a false alarm caused by sunlight reflecting off high-altitude clouds.
Wow.
Petrov saved the world because the system gave him the time to doubt.
Doubt is a vital safety mechanism. It's the ultimate human fallback.
But look at where warfare is heading today. We're entering the era of supersonic and hypersonic weapons.
Weapons that completely erase that 30-minute buffer.
Exactly. The window for ethical deliberation vanishes entirely. If a hypersonic weapon is detected, decisions about whether it is an actual threat, what its trajectory is, and how to deploy countermeasures, all of that must be made in milliseconds.
Milliseconds.
Yes. The biological hardware inside our skull simply cannot process the data and come to a solid decision fast enough to intercept it.
So this is the impossible corner we're backed into. And let me play devil's advocate for a second here because I am struggling with the math on this.
Go for it.
If I'm responsible for defending a city and a hypersonic missile is inbound, a human commander is guaranteed to fail.
Right.
We are simply too slow.
Right.
So doesn't that mean we are morally obligated to hand control over to a fully autonomous AI? If the math says the AI intercepts the missile and saves millions of lives, why is this even a debate? Isn't that just objectively the right choice?
Well, you are making a classic consequentialist argument there. This is where those high-level philosophical frameworks collide with reality. Consequentialism judges the morality of an action entirely by its outcome. The ultimate good is saving lives.
So the outcome justifies the means.
Exactly. If an algorithm is the only thing fast enough to neutralize a threat, The consequentialist says you must deploy the algorithm.
Because the math dictates that the AI saves the city and the human loses the city.
On paper, yes, but that argument collides directly with deontology.
Deontology.
Right. Deontology focuses on moral rules and duties regardless of the immediate outcome. And a foundational deontological rule in modern conflict is that human beings must always maintain control over lethal force.
I see.
We have a strict moral duty not to outsource the decision to end human life to an algorithm.
Because an algorithm doesn't understand what life is. It doesn't have a lived experience. It just processes ones and zeros.
Furthermore, it has no moral uncertainty. AI does not doubt. It executes based on its programming and the data it receives.
So it wouldn't have paused like Stanislav Petrov.
Not at all.
If a sun glare triggered a fully autonomous hypersonic defense system, it wouldn't stop to think about the logic of a 5-missile strike. It would just instantly retaliate.
And potentially start a war before a human even knew it was happening.
That is terrifying.
We are caught in a highly fluid, dangerous phase of national defense. The customary standard of safety, the human in the loop, is mathematically obsolete against hypersonic threats. But the fully autonomous alternative strips away the one thing that has historically saved us from annihilation.
Human doubt.
Exactly. Human doubt.
Okay. So we just established that AI is too fast for humans to control in warfare. But speed isn't the only problem. The bigger issue is that even at 30 miles per hour on a quiet suburban street, the way an AI thinks is entirely alien to us.
Oh, absolutely.
The AI doesn't just lack human doubt. It lacks human perception.
Hmm.
So let's talk about how the world's smartest algorithms can be defeated by a kindergarten sticker.
Yes. We are diving into adversarial perturbations.
Right.
When an algorithm breaks down, it does not break down the way a human mind does.
This blew my mind in the sources. I want to spend some time exploring this because it's not just that the AI makes a mistake. It's the bizarre mechanism of how it makes the mistake.
Yeah, an adversarial perturbation is a fascinating and honestly terrifying vulnerability in machine learning. It involves making tiny, highly calculated changes to an object in the physical world.
Okay, like what?
For example, placing a specially designed sticker on a stop sign. Or subtly altering a few pixels on a digital indicator.
But to you and me, the human beings walking down the street, it just looks like a slightly dirty stop sign or maybe a sign with a piece of tape on it.
Exactly. Your brain filters that noise out instantly. You recognize the red octagon, the bold white letters, the context of the intersection. Your lived experience dictates that the sign still holds its meaning.
But the AI doesn't see a shape. I think this is a huge misconception we all have. We assume the camera on a self-driving car is looking for a red octagon, just like we are.
It isn't. An AI reads a massive matrix of pixel values. It is looking for specific mathematical textures and gradients.
Gradient.
Right. From those numbers, it calculates confidence threshold. That sticker on the stop sign isn't just random visual noise. It is mathematically designed as a gradient attack.
Wait, what exactly is a gradient attack? Explain how a physical sticker breaks the math inside the computer.
Sure. In simple terms, the AI's neural network has layers of digital neurons that activate when they see certain mathematical patterns in the pixels.
Okay.
The adversarial sticker introduces a precise pattern of pixels that specifically targets the AI's classification system. It artificially inflates the mathematical probability that the image is something else.
Oh, I see.
It drags the AI's confidence below its required threshold for stop sign and simultaneously pushes it above the threshold for, say, a speed limit 45 sign.
So a human looks at it and clearly sees a stop sign with a sticker on it. The AI looks at those exact same pixels, runs the math, and determines with 99% confidence that it is a speed limit sign.
Yes. Or it might read it as yield sign, a green light, or completely fail to recognize it as an object at all. It simply vanishes from the AI's functional reality.
So think of it as an optical illusion that only works on computers.
That's a great way to put it.
But the implications are massive, because this connects right back to the framework we started with, the lived experience versus the technical definition. You, the listener, share the physical world with these autonomous systems.
Right.
When you approach an intersection, you experience a stop sign as a universal social contract. It has immense social weight. It means we all agree to stop here so we don't crash into each other and destroy a life.
It is rooted in human empathy and our shared physical reality.
But the AI doesn't understand the social contract.
No, it doesn't.
The AI's technical definition of a stop sign is just a fragile arrangement of pixel weights. It has no concept of why the sign is there. If you alter the pixel gradient with a sticker, you haven't just altered an image. You've entirely erased the conceptual necessity of stopping from the machine's reality.
Exactly. And this exposes the ultimate fragility of algorithmic logic. We constantly project our own human understanding onto these machines. We assume that because an AI can steer a car through traffic, it understands the road the way we do.
But it is fundamentally alien.
It is. Adversarial perturbations prove that machine logic is vulnerable to things that wouldn't fool a toddler. If a handful of pixel changes can turn a stop sign into a green light in the mind of the machine, we have to seriously question our reliance on these systems for life or death decisions.
Yeah, I'll be okay.
We are trusting systems that don't perceive reality the way we do to navigate a world built entirely for us.
Wow. Well, we have covered some serious ground today.
We really have.
We started with the three theoretical layers of ethics, how we intuitively feel a value, the monumental challenge of mathematically coding that value, and how that code ultimately survives or crashes in the real world.
Right.
We unpacked the cognitive psychology of why humans make terrible, complacent backup systems for self-driving cars, turning our daily commutes into exhausting exercises in hypervigilance.
Yeah, the human in the loop problem.
Exactly. And then we explored the terrifying reality of hypersonic weapons, where our human morality is simply too slow to survive, stripping away the critical safety net of human doubt.
Which is a very real current debate.
Right. And finally, we expose the alien logic of AI, where the most complex neural networks on Earth can be manipulated by a mathematical gradient attack printed on a simple sticker.
So I think the overarching theme here is the deep friction between the messy, fluid nature of human morality and the rigid, often fragile logic of code.
Definitely.
As we try to bridge the gap between our lived experiences and technical definitions, we are finding that there are no easy answers, only incredibly complex trade-offs.
Yeah. Which brings it to the end of our deep dive. But as always, we want to leave you, the listener, with a final thought to chew on. Something that takes everything we've just discussed and puts the burden of choice right in your lap.
Right. So think about this. If you were tasked with designing the ultimate safety infrastructure for the city you live in right now, which ethical good would you prioritize?
That's a heavy question.
It is. Would you choose the moral clarity and lived experience of human judgment? Even knowing it is dangerously slow, easily distracted, and biologically flawed? Or would you choose the perfect, instantaneous efficiency of an algorithm, knowing it is utterly alien to human values, incapable of doubt, and vulnerable to invisible, catastrophic errors?
It's a choice we are all collectively making right now, whether we realize it or not. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Next time you're out driving or looking up at the sky or just crossing a quiet intersection, take a closer look at the automated systems operating all around you. We'll catch you next time.